going to share with you something I've never shared before. Esther chapter number 4. I want to look at Esther tonight and a few things about her life that I think would apply to each and every one of us tonight. I want to read a little bit more than I normally do, but I'm going to keep track of time here. Esther chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And went and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth." Verse number 3. "And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth." When you think about that just for a second, it's not the message, but think about these Jews. They're in the midst of the city, and the Bible says they're weeping, and the Bible says that they're wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. These people were taking this decree very seriously. But understand, the Bible says, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. "Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and they to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. And so Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, and to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make supplication before him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai, and Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai and all the king's servants and all the people of the king's providence to know whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king, unto the inner court, who is not called, there is one law to put him to death, except to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" I want you to think about that phrase, "who knoweth." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful to come into your house and to have a place where we can worship outside the weather, and Lord, a place where we can worship freely. And Lord, we're thankful for your word that you preserve for us, even to this generation. Lord, we ask that you would help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to be better because of your word and more like you. And Lord, we ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. I want you to think about this question that Mordecai asked. Who knows? You know, who knew that Esther would be in such a position that all these things were going to happen, that not only was King Ahasuerus going to sign this decree for one Jew to be killed, but for all the Jews to be killed? And if you look at the dates, if I'm understanding things correctly, it was 11 months from the time he signs the decree to the time that they were all supposed to die. And we understand that what happened, you know, he writes another decree and it reverses things. And so the Jews are able to take care of their enemies. And this happened on the same date as it was supposed to happen, the opposite. But understand, here you have this question, who knoweth? Well, I want you probably know, who knew. The one who knew what was going to happen was God. Okay? So in our lives,
who knew a lot of different things. You know, I think of who knew that somebody like me that was so terribly afraid to talk in front of people actually someday could look forward to opportunities to preach. I remember as a teenager very vividly of all the thinking, you know, I heard so many pastors get up there and preach. And they talk about how that this is the best thing that they've ever done, how they so much enjoy preaching. And I just thought, will that ever be me? Okay, who knew that God could use somebody like David Smith to talk in front of people? Okay, who knew? God did. Okay, and in your life, the same is true. I think of your pastor, and I've heard his story now of how he came here. And, of course, I knew him from as a child. But I think about how that, who knew that there would be a need for him to not just serve here as a lay person or as a staff member or on staff here, but who knew that he would need to be here as a pastor? Who knew that all the things would happen for him to need to be the pastor here at this church and take care of that position? There's one person that knew, and it wasn't your pastor. It wasn't even his brother. It was God. You know, it was God that led your pastor through all the different things and all the bewilderment and the wondering of what in the world is God doing in my life to be here, to serve here, and all the way to where he's at right now. The same is true in your life. It is God that knows the future. You know, we've talked about today, you know, I have a direction. I believe God's called me and a place and everything. But there's a whole lot about Kenya, Africa that I don't know. A whole lot of things that I don't know how it's going to happen. The year 2022 is election year, and I really don't know. I'm sorry, sliding down. I don't know how that election is going to turn out. Okay, every year there's election violence. Every time they have an election, there's a lot of violence that happens. One of those hot spots for election violence is Kisumu, where we're going. Okay, there's a lot of things that I don't know how it's going to turn out, but there is somebody that does know. When you think of your life, who knew? Well, God knew. You know, I think about, we talked about it a little bit today, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and probably for the last couple months, and we've been in a lot of mission conferences, and in 1 month we were in 6 mission conferences, and it was a lot of traveling, but it was a lot of preaching, a lot of church, you know. But understand, as a missionary, especially during mission conference, oftentimes I'm asked to speak in front of the kids to encourage them in the area of missions. And I always try to encourage children that whatever God wants for your life is the best thing you could ever do. When my father passed away, all of us wrote a tribute. All of us 10 kids wrote a tribute to our dad. And there was kind of a similar thread through all of the things that we wrote. And how that dad would pull us aside periodically, different times in our life, and maybe once a year, maybe once every couple years, and say, "Hey, David, what are you going to do when you grow up?" And, okay, you know, I surrendered to go to Kenya at age 9, and now I'm 14 years old, and my dad, you know, is asking me what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I was like, "You don't know, you know, I'm going to be a missionary to Kenya, you know, God's called me to go to Kenya, and that's what I plan to do with my life." And he would then say, "Okay, I just want to make sure that you know that it's between you and God. It's not something I'm trying to push you to do. It's something you said when you were younger, and now I'm trying to push you to do. I just want you to do whatever God's will is for your life." He would say that over and over again, and on a less serious note, he would say, "Now, David, I'm going to support you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll be waiting for you when you get back, but I'm not going to Kenya." That's what Dad would always say. But understand, Dad always pushed us to do God's will for our life. But I'm going at these mission conferences, and I'm trying to encourage these children in the area of missions, and one of the areas I often encourage young people is this idea of surrendering your life to God. But oftentimes us as independent Baptists, we put so much emphasis on missions because we're trying to have a heart for missions. We're trying to, we know that God blesses it, and so we're doing this. But sometimes we unknowingly put so much emphasis on missions that it becomes the thing, like, if you're a missionary, like, that's so much better than being a school teacher or being a pastor even. You know, being a missionary is like the greatest thing. You know, I was with a pastor in St. Louis, and he told me that he went to college to be a missionary. Not because God had ever called him to be a missionary, but because he wanted to be a missionary. He had it figured out in his mind that, you know, being a layperson was about right here as far as levels of Christianity. And then you had school teachers, and then you had assistant pastors, and then pastors, but missionaries was at the top. There's nothing better than you could do with your life than be a missionary. Now, understand, that's not Bible. Okay, this guy was telling me this as he's pastoring today. Okay, he realized that was not God's will for his life. But understand, I'm trying to encourage you that being a missionary is not the greatest thing. Oh, I'm very grateful that God's called me to be a missionary. But doing God's will for your life, that is the greatest thing. You know, Esther here in this passage is just a Jew, a Jewish girl. She's there in the palace, or there in the city, the capital city there. And when God called, or God allowed different events to happen to allow her to be the queen, God worked out a lot of things for this captive to be a queen. A lot of miracles. But the significance to this is not that she was the queen. The significance is not the fact that you are a deacon of the church, or you are a Sunday school teacher, or you're involved with a youth group here or there. The significance is the fact that you're where God wants you. You know, for me in my life, I feel like all the time people are saying, well, I'm so glad you're going to Kenya and you're doing so much. But I want to encourage you to do what God has called for you. Be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. Why? Because that's where you'll find the most fulfillment. That's where you'll make the most difference for the cause of Christ. You understand that it's no different. You don't get more rewards for leading somebody to Christ in Africa as you do right here in Maryland. You don't get greater rewards because you're on a foreign country. You get, God will bless you and God will reward you in heaven for doing what He wants you for your life. And so you think of what made Esther such a great character in the Bible is, number one, she was where God placed her. This was God's will for her life. Secondly, I see here in this passage is God's purpose for her life. Okay, so Esther was to go before the King Ahasuerus, and she was supposed to plead for her people. Okay, this is kind of like you and I going to God, going to Him in prayer, and pleading for a lost person. You think about these Jews. If something didn't happen, they were no doubt going to die. There was a date on it. And we don't know the date, but the people you work with, the people you live next to, there is a date. And if they don't get saved, even though we don't know that date, there is a day when they're going to go and they're going to spend eternity in hell. And so it's important for us to pray for others. But understand, not only do we pray, but we also go and we witness to them. And for you in the area of missions, you give to missions. But understand, this is God's purpose for your life. And I know this is really general and really wide, but understand our significance. What's great about David Smith is not David Smith. What's great about David Smith is whatever David Smith does for God. Understand, in your life, that what is great about you is not the family that you're from, the house that you live in, you know, the car that you drive. What's significant about your life is God's purpose for your life. God's plan for your life. The people that God has you witness to, the people that God has you to influence for the cause of Christ. You know, for Esther, she was influential in saving a nation, a whole group of people, the Jewish people. And in your life, God has many people for you to influence. And perhaps some people you won't realize how you influence them or to what extent you influence them until you get to heaven. But understand, our significance is not in the title missionary, deacon, pastor. Our significance is in the one that called us. You know, I reminded of how, as a little kid, it was like such a great thing when pastor would ask you to do something. Maybe you had an envelope you had to take to the secretary or whatever meaningless little thing. But it was like such a great thing. And, you know, dad might cross your path on your way to wherever you're going. And dad would say, what are you doing? Like, pastor told me to do this. And, you know, even dad wouldn't stop you. You could, what you had an important job. And I remember feeling so important as a little kid because the pastor gave me a job. When you think about who gave us the job, you think about how that it was God that created us, that now He's given us this job. Oh, we have a very important job. You know, Pastor, I think mentioned it earlier about how that people brag about who they know. Hey, I'm here to brag about who called me. It's God in heaven. You know, God in heaven, He's the one that asked us to do this. And secondly, we see here what God asked us to do. And you think about, you know, I could be a welder and minus Christian, being a Christian, minus, you know, serving in a local church, minus anything. Just talk about spending my life as a welder. I used to do that. Being a welder is not a great thing. I used to drive a truck. I used to drive an 18-wheeler. I used to scare a lot of people, okay? But understand, what I'm doing now is so much better because of what I'm doing. The idea of you spending your life trying to reach other people with the gospel and the eternal benefits of reaching people with the gospel is so much greater than any other occupation. And I understand, you know, some people, they'll talk about how that I meet somebody, they find out that we're missionaries, and then they that's such a great thing. They have no idea that we're actually, like, you know, preaching the gospel. They think that we're trying to help people with some kind of humanitarian aid, but they think it's such a great thing. Wow, I can't believe you're giving your life to do that. But understand, when you reach somebody with the gospel, the eternal benefits of this is so significant. Think about what makes us significant. We understand it's not our title. We understand that it's the one that called us. It's the one that sent us. It's the one that, for Esther, the one that placed her in the palace. She had no ability to work her way to the palace. She was only in the palace because God placed her there at such a time as this. Notice with me this last thought here with Esther. Not only was it God that placed her there, not only was it the significance in the what God had for her, the purpose that God had for her while she was queen, to save much people alive. But lastly, think about for such a time as this. There was a clock ticking after the decree was made. It was only so many months, and this was going to happen. All of these Jews were going to die. You know, for us, what makes it so great? What's so great about us trying to witness to other people? What's so significant about what God is giving us to do is the fact that there's so little time. You know, I don't know whether I'm going to die first or God's going to come back first. But for sure, it's going to be soon. You know, even if God allowed me to live to be 70 years old, that's already only 55 years from now. 50, I can't even do the math, 53 or something like that. But understand, 53 years, you say that's a long time, but really it's a very short time. And it'll come and it'll go. And I need to be concerned about today, what am I doing to reach the lost with the gospel? Because the time is ticking. And obviously we know that God could come back much, much sooner than that. You think about the people that you're trying to witness to, and you don't know when they're going to breathe their last breath. And so, you know, time is short. So what is so significant about my life? Number one is the God that placed me, the God that has a purpose for me and a plan for my life. Number two, it's because of what God has called me to do, this idea of being of reaching the lost with the gospel. And lastly, it's because there's a short amount of time. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I hope when you think of missions and you put an emphasis on missions like you should, when you are grateful for missionaries for what they do, and God will bless you for that, when you don't forget the significance of your part. You say, well, I'm never going to the foreign field. I'll maybe never even visit a foreign field. Don't forget the significance of your part. There's no way that I, as a missionary, to go to the mission field, except for people in the United States sacrificing to give. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say
thank you to you on behalf of all the missionaries that you already support for the sacrifice that you make. I understand that, you know, you have a lot of needs in your life and yet you give to missions. But when you think of missions and you think of even the story of Esther and what was so great about Esther, Esther was in the place that God had for her. Esther was there because of God. Esther was doing the speaking to the king for the Jewish people. That was God's mission for her. That was God's purpose for her, to save so many people. And lastly, there was a short amount of time for Esther to get this accomplished. She waited for 30 days. Nothing happened in 30 days. She had to go before the king and take that risk. And in your life, I hope you don't forget the significance of God's purpose and God's plan for your life.